Am I on? Yeah. Right, if there's somebody in the audience today can come up with a more creative way of collecting the cups after the communion, we'd really appreciate it. So just talk to Darren about it and we can we can do it in a different way. Thank you so much for that. I just want to start by thanking you for the for all your prayers and support during our time of bereavement. Your prayers and support have meant a lot to us. And as we laid Cheryl's dad to rest back in South Africa, we knew that our family here was holding us up in prayer. And we felt your presence, your prayers, even in our bereavement. So thank you so much for being a part of our life and our journey in that. Andy, you want to give us an update as to whether you want us to disrupt anything? Or are we okay? Is everything okay with your shop? All right, okay. So should an emergency arise, Andy will send me a text and I will put it on the group. So if you can make your way to his shop and we can do some stuff together in it. All right. Thank you very much. So this morning I wanted to talk again about this image that's on our wall every time you walk into this building, constantly reminding us what God requires of us as a church and how do we bring that to pass on our daily living as a Christian. And so, well, when you look at it, you would notice that it spells midwife and it has seven elements that God wants us to constantly bring about as a body of Christ so that we can become effective in what we do. So in order for us to understand that, I thought I want to talk a bit more, this morning on how we can either consider a quarantine or we consider becoming contagious. And the best place to start with this is the coronavirus. And I thought, this would be a good place to start with it, because when the coronavirus came about, it caused a major disruption. And that's what viruses do. They disrupt normal behavior. And once you get wind of it, it starts to create a whole lot of fear and complications and struggles in people's lives. So the big dot on this map is where is the epicenter of where the virus started. And within a couple of days, those red dots around in China means that that virus, although it started in that big dot in the middle, has spread throughout China in just by people that carried it from this community of Wuhan. Now, the doctor that discovered it apparently has died of the virus because when he initially told the authorities that there is a virus that is in this community and you need to deal with it, they try to cover it up, and so he succumbed to the fate of the virus and eventually died. Now somebody posted this on Facebook and they said they found the corona bug. So the problem is solved. We sorted out with it. So I just thought I'd throw that in. By the way, if you want to know who put that on Facebook, Steve Dillon. blame him for it. All right? Okay. So the coronavirus started in a place called Wuhan in China and suddenly spread. And if you look at the map of China, you'll find that the entire place is, the whole of China has been painted red because it became a very major hotspot. But within a couple of days or weeks, it suddenly started to show signs of cases throughout that region. And Hong Kong was showing cases, and Taiwan, and Macau, and Thailand, and Japan, and then suddenly the USA was saying, oh, we got cases of the virus here. And so suddenly this is how the map looks. Within a period of under a month, that this virus that started in a place called Wuhan in China has now spread and started to contaminate places around the world. And immediately, countries around the world started to take precautions. Like you would have heard of a plane load of British people that came into the country, and immediately they were taken into a quarantine. They were kept for 2 weeks in this quarantine to make sure that none of them are carriers of this virus. And quarantines are neat places. Quarantines are places where there's no germs, and apparently they can't have heating in it because heating makes the virus excited. So it has to be a cold place, a frozen place, basically, like a theater. You go into theater, you'll notice there's no heating in theaters. You go there and it's really cold because they don't want viruses. Viruses thrive wherever there's heat. And so if you look at this quarantine place, you will notice that it is very clean, very well kept, and very well maintained. And then this was the latest one in Japan, where this cruise liner was became a quarantine. Nobody could get off this ship because there were people on board that had the virus. And so they had to quarantine this ship for 2 weeks, 14 days, to make sure that nobody steps out of the ship with any viruses in them. And so when I look at this and I think about this virus in China, and I think about all the contaminations that it's caused and the way it's spread and how fast it's spread, I am reminded of a scripture in the Bible that says that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be carriers of viruses to the ends of the earth. You will be carriers of a virus called the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So my friend, every one of you here seated, you are a carrier of a virus called the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We are good news carriers. That means wherever we go, as long as we are breathing, somebody needs to catch it. That's crazy, isn't it? Somebody has to get contaminated by this, because it is something that has to spread. It is something that we have, and it has to be taken across the world. Now, this is a map of Jerusalem during the time of Jesus, and the gospel started in Jerusalem, and then it spread to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And in the first 100 years, this is what it looked like. The then known world was contaminated, in inverted commas, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The carriers of the gospel didn't isolate it to a location, because when Jesus gave the command that you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, the disciples took that very, very seriously. They didn't think that Jesus was just making a statement. They went into Jerusalem, went into the upper room, waited for 10 days. I don't even know what they did in 10 days. They just sat there and said, well, he said must wait here for the Holy Spirit to come, so we'll just hang around and wait. Because the Bible doesn't give you what they did. All they did, they were in one accord and in one spirit, and they waited upon the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit came 10 days later, which we call Pentecost, something happened. Something so dynamic happened that Peter stood up and preached a sermon and 3,000 got contaminated. Immediately when he said preached the good news, 3,000 people that were listening to him picked up the virus and they said, oh, we got the virus. And now I got a feeling that 3,000 started to spread it out and go out and go out. And as they went back to the villages, like the woman of Samaria, when she got contaminated by Jesus, she went back into a village and contaminated the village and said, come see, I'll show you a man who's told me everything that I have ever done. That's contamination in the good sense of the word. A good sense of the word. Now you can think about whether this gospel needs to be quarantined, or whether you want this gospel to be contagious. And I think the message that Jesus gave us in the four gospels is a contagious gospel. A contagious good news. A good news that God loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you and he wants to make you alive and he wants to reconnect you to himself and he wants to walk this journey with you. Now we can go on. In the first 300 years of the growth of the church, the gospel spread like wildfire. You know why it spread like wildfire? They had no quarantine venues. Nothing. They went from house to house. They broke bread. They ministered every single place that they went to. Now, recently you would have noticed that Alistair asked us to start thinking about life groups in a different way. And I'm going to tell you two incidents of this contamination that is starting to spread. One is, I think most of you know Josh. Josh is Esther's future husband. When we went to speak to Josh and asked him, how's things, what's going on, and then he told us a story of a friend that tragically committed suicide. And now what Josh does, this is Josh's life group. Josh goes onto PlayStation, connects with all his friends on PlayStation, and encourages them while playing PlayStation. A life group on Xbox or PlayStation, whatever gadget he uses. Now, in our normal thinking, like, how can that be a life group? Josh spends all his time encouraging the friends and making sure that none of them go down the route of what the friend has done, the friend that lost his life. A simple way of doing life together. Now, you might think, oh, well, I don't see that as a life group for me. I see that beautifully as a life group. The other one is the one that Helen runs, which is a book club. So they got a group of people that read a book. They come together on a Thursday evening. And so everyone goes back, read a chapter of that book by Francine Rivers or something. And then they come back and they sit in the group and they discuss that chapter in that book, which is very biblically related. Why? Because the people that are in the group love books. And they said, hey, we read a book. We can have a life group together. And they are doing life in that way. Now, these are some of the ways that this gospel becomes contagious and starts to spread. Because somebody is going to get wind of one of these groups and say, how can I get onto the gaming? Or how can I get into your book club? Or how can I meet up with your Friday group or your Tuesday group or whichever group it is that is happening on a daily basis? Because life is beginning to happen in this. And they are now becoming contagious in it. Now, when you read the book of Acts, this is one of a very exciting text that you will find in it in chapter 17, verse 6. It says, these men who have turned the world upside down have now come here also. Which means the word of this contamination that was going on around was going all over. And people were hearing, hey, something is happening with these people who we are calling Christians. And they are really, I don't think that verse is written right. Because I don't think they turned the world upside down. I thought they were turning the world right side up. They were bringing back order into it. They were putting God back into the center of it. They were making things happen in it. And so now, here are these men who are turning the world right side up have now come here to do that also. And what I want to hear more and more in our Christian walk with God is these men and women that go to this church called WCC are now turning this community right side up. The things are starting to happen in this community and things are just turning around because these guys don't have a quarantine mentality. This building does not have to be a quarantine place. This building must be able to say, let's contaminate you this morning, and the minute you walk out of this door, go contaminate two other people. Let's cause this virus called the gospel of Jesus Christ, let's cause it to now spread into our community because it is the only hope for Worksop. It is the only hope for the UK. It is the only hope for the rest of the world. And if you believe that, then we have to start deliberately contaminating people with this virus called the good news of Jesus Christ. I want us to become a church that changes the world. I want you to become a person that changes the world. I want you to be a person that, you know, the command that God gave to Joshua and said, every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you. We must be able to walk the streets of Worksop, walk wherever we go and say, Lord, we are claiming this territory for you. On Wednesday night, we were back on the high street praying again. And as we were walking down in one direction, there's a little creche kind of thing where children go to every day. We just went and laid our hands on that and said, Lord, all the children that come here, we wanted them to get an opportunity to hear about who you are and what a good God you are. What an amazing, marvelous, fantastic virus you are. That we just want to spread it. We want people to know that you love them. We want people to catch this wherever they get. So I want this church to become a church that sooner or later Worksop is going to say, if Worksop has to blame anything good happening in this community, they're going to point fingers at this church and say, you are the reason these things are happening. You are the reason that we are getting contaminated with goodness. You are the reason that drugs are leaving this community. You are the reason that prostitution is dying down. You are the reason that life is coming back into this community. You are the reason that businesses are opening. You are the reason because you are becoming contagious and you are affecting every sphere of society. We have to become contagious with this virus called the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are carriers of the good news. That's what it is. In our DNA should say you have good news in it. You are the carrier of this good news. Listen to this. Whether words are to be carriers of hate or vehicles of compassion, whether they are to become spears or peace offerings, whether they will move us to despair or to hope, I belong to a generation that has learned that whatever the question, despair is not the answer. So what is the answer? Maybe you are the answer. Why? Because in you lies that good news. In you lies the life of the Holy Spirit. In you lies the life that God has reconnected to the Father and given you this new life so that when you step out into wherever you are taking this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. But I changed this and I said, we are what we repeatedly do. Evangelism then is not an act, but a habit. Let's evangelize deliberately. Let's go and do what God has called us to do, because there is a world waiting to hear this good news of Jesus Christ. There is a world waiting to know, how do I reconnect with God? How do I reconnect with the Father? And every single one of us here have that good news to take out to the world. I don't want to place this warning on our door of this church. I don't want us to say, warning, this is a quarantine area. I want people to come in here and catch what we have. And I want when we go out of here, people must catch what we take out and give to the rest of the world. We are carriers of this gospel. Let's not make church a nice, neat, neatly packed quarantine place. You know, in the first 300 years, the church made tremendous progress and tremendous growth, and it was really taking the world by storm. Then Constantine became emperor. And when Constantine became emperor, he made this declaration, I want you all to know that I'm a Christian. And it was, oh, our emperor is a Christian, hallelujah. And then what he did, he started to take all the temples of the pagans and turn them into church buildings. So what he has done? He has made quarantine centers for the gospel that was spreading like wildfire. People were now gathering and forgot that the world, the reason why we exist is so that the world can be impacted. So church buildings have become very cozy quarantine areas. And so we are okay if it's for us. We are happy that we are being taken care of and everything is going well. So when we die, we will go to heaven. But that's not why we exist. That's not why we live. That's not why this church is here. This church is here so that this community can be contaminated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This community can be turned right side up because we take this good news to the ends of the earth and specifically in this community. So what then do we do? We proclaim Christ. At every corner that we come, we proclaim Christ. That is the message that we have, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The good news in one verse. And take that good news to the rest of the people so that Christ is proclaimed. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached, Jesus said. It must be preached here, and it must be preached to the ends of the earth, and then only the end will come. A lot of us are waiting for Jesus to return. And if you read this verse here, he said, only when this gospel goes to the ends of the earth, then it will happen. And so we are delaying his coming because we're not taking this precious gospel message to the ends of the earth. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the spreading of the gospel. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, your circumstances must be an opportunity for Jesus to be exalted in it and Jesus to be proclaimed in it. The mystery of Christ, which I am in chains, he said, for this I need to proclaim this mystery. This mystery must be proclaimed to the people that I come into contact with. The word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. If you read your Bible and if you read the book of Acts, you'll notice from chapter 7, it was all confined to Jerusalem and Judea. They didn't even go to the Samaria. They were just confining it to themselves. And the only time the church moved out from its comfort zone was when persecution hit in chapter 8. When persecution hit the church in chapter 8 of Acts, then everybody was scattered. The Christians were at to run for their lives. And when you run for your lives, you're still carrying this virus. You're not leaving the virus behind. So you're taking this virus and you're going wherever you have to go, and you are spreading that good news virus wherever you find yourself. So let's not wait for persecution to hit us. Let's go and be obedient to what God is calling us to do. Let's take this gospel and contaminate the area that he's placed us in. So how? Yeah, some ways that we can spread this virus easily. Number one is, offer to pray for somebody. If you hear that your neighbor is unwell, go and knock at the door and say, I heard you've just come out of hospital. Is it okay if we bring you a meal? And can we pray for you? Now, so far in my experience in this community, there's not a single person said to me, no, I don't want your prayer. If I offer to pray for somebody, you say, oh, yes, please. Yes, please, please do that. So nobody turns you away when you say, can I just pray for you? And if they allow you to lay hands on them, lay hands on them, or just pray and say, and then go away promising them that you'll pray for them and continue to pray for them. And 3 days later, go back and say, how are you doing now? I've been praying for you. And with another small hot meal to them. And eventually you will get an opportunity to, then maybe the next or the third visit, you got a Christian literature in your pocket and you say, can you read this while you're sitting and relaxing? Just a little insert or something that you found that was very encouraging and will encourage that person. Then another way you can do evangelism is on your social networks. How many of us are on Facebook? How many of us post rubbish on Facebook? Don't put your hands up. But it is such a beautiful tool. I don't know if any one of you have been on the church Facebook recently. Have you noticed what IATA has been doing with the fear and courage and brave? And she just took what I gave her and she made it beautiful and put it on Facebook. She put it as it is, nobody will read it. But she made it attractive and people start to read this. Now, every day, you can post an encouragement on Facebook. You can go and put a verse that you've been touched with. Because nobody will stop you from doing that. It is your page. You can do whatever you want with it. Unless somebody complains that you're putting too much Christian stuff on it and they will stop you at Facebook. But you have an opportunity to do that. You have an opportunity to use every part of social media to tell somebody about Jesus. And you don't know whose life you have touched in some way by just posting that for that day. So stop posting all that nonsense that means nothing to anybody and start now encouraging people with a good word, presenting Jesus Christ at every opportunity that you get. Always have a Bible handy. I don't know if you have a little New Testament you can put in your pocket, or you have a, like me, I have a man bag with a Bible in it. So if somebody has to ask me a question, I take out a book and I say, let's look at what God's Word has to say. And then you take them from God's Word to their situation and you say, look, can you see how God works in your situation from His Word? He's a God that promises. So carry a little Bible in your pocket or in your bag or in your handbag or whatever way you can. It'll come in handy when you have to talk to somebody. Share your testimony. When you tell your story, nobody can fight that. Nobody can argue against that. And every one of us have a testimony. Just don't share a testimony about 20 years ago. Ask God for a fresh one. Lord, I need something new to tell my neighbor. Can't keep telling them the same story that happened 15 years ago. Give me something fresh and let God give you a new testimony that you can give to your neighbor. Invite neighbors for a meal and a movie. You notice I didn't say Christian movie. Invite your neighbors for a meal. Just say to them, we'd like to have you over this Friday for a meal, and after the meal we'll just watch a movie. And choose a good movie. If you want to go for a Christian movie, that's fine. But if you know that there's a good movie that I can use lines from that movie to talk to the person in a non-threatening way, then invite people over. When last have you invited a neighbor to your home? Or when last did you take a meal to one of your neighbors that are unwell or needs a meal that's different? Genuinely care for others. I cannot emphasize the needs that are in this community. I was talking to Anthony and Pam, and they were telling me the number of old age homes in just Worksop. I think there's about 11 or 15. 15, yeah. So there's 15 old age homes or care homes just in Worksop. Do we have a place to visit? Yes. Choose whichever one you want and just go there and spend an hour with old people in a room and tell them, I'd like to read you a story. And read a story. Open the Bible and read them a Bible story. Do something where you genuinely care for the people that are, you know, literally have one foot in the grave. We need to become genuine carers because we are carriers of this virus called the good news of Jesus Christ. Local shelters, Hope is a place where people go and spend the night. I don't know all the other areas in there. People that are sleeping on the streets, you can walk down there. there was a guy that walked out of Greg's with a the sausage roll. You get four for three pounds or something. And he grabbed this four. He spent £3 on it. And he walked up to this homeless guy that he gave it to them. And so this guy said, thank you, and he walked off. And I was standing here just observing this whole scene. And the guy took the three sausages and threw it in the bin. And so I walked up to him and I said, why would you do that? He said, Rocky, every moment we are eating Greg sausage rolls, we are tired of it now. We can't handle Greg sausage rolls anymore. Can somebody just buy us something else? You know, if we just got a slice of butter bread, we'll enjoy it. But I can't have another Greg sausage roll ever. Now, even they are a bit choosy on what they want. I'm not picking on the choosiness. But check exactly how we can relate to the people that need us. The church exists for that. The church is not a decontamination place. The church is not a quarantine area. The church is where you come and catch the virus and you go out and you share the virus and allow the virus to spread at a very fast rate if we all want to do it. And we all take this gospel message seriously. I mean, if you look in the church today, you'll find Stephen is sitting here. Because we have a carrier of the gospel who's already contaminated him. You understand? So somebody is telling somebody that, hey, you need to get here and hear what a lovely family this is and how we can get on and encourage one another on this journey. Because God has not called us to live in isolation and in loneliness. And we have every single opportunity to do this. So friends, as I bring this message to a close this morning, I want you to think about one neighbor, one friend at work, one person that you always cross paths with, and how you want to engage that person. With just a normal conversation, just a normal connecting point, and how you bring them to become contaminated with this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? I want you to think about one person that you are going to talk to. One person you're probably thinking of right now, or one neighbor that you think I can get them over for a meal. and we'll have this meal, and then we will share, watch a movie or just sit and have conversations about life. Don't try to shove the gospel down somebody's throat the first time you meet them. Let them know that you love them first. And then, when God gives you an opportunity, you tell them why you are really meeting with them. Do you have that one person in your mind? And take that one person and place them before the Lord and say, Lord, when I approach this person, would you make that meeting a good one? Would you give me the wisdom by your Holy Spirit to be able to share what you want me to share with this person? Who is the one person that God is placing upon your heart this morning that really needs just a hug, just a kind word, just a visit, just a chat over the fence, just a warm embrace at some stage? Who is God asking you to meet with and bring that person before the Lord this morning? As the worship team comes forward, I want you to whisper a prayer for this person. I want you to bring this person before the Lord. I want you to make a commitment to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I really want to take this gospel that I carry and just tell it to my neighbor. Just share it with my neighbor. Just share it with my friend at work. Just share it with my colleague at school. Just share it with somebody that I meet. And I want to encourage them on this journey and tell them that life is exciting when you know who God is and what He means to you in your life and how you can have a joyous, wondrous life when you know who this God is. Father, we pray this morning that as we lay our lives before you, we want to be contagious and not quarantined. We don't want to quarantine ourselves from the world that is in need and that is struggling and that really can do with a little bit of our virus. We don't want to become a quarantine center. We want to become a contagious center. That the minute we walk out of this place and we talk to people and we meet with people and we encourage people and we are there for people, Lord, that they will catch what we have. How can we keep this to ourselves, this good news, Lord? How can we keep it to ourselves when there's a world waiting to hear it? How can we keep it to ourselves when work stop? 40,000 people can go to a lost eternity because we're keeping this good news to ourselves. And help us to stop it. Help us to now get up and become contagious. Help us to get up and become a carrier of this virus called the good news of Jesus Christ, and go and spread it as quickly as possible, because how many people will not hear this good news, Lord? And so even as each one of us have brought one person before you, Lord, I pray that you will take each one of those prayers and you will answer them, Lord. You will create opportunities for us to meet with them. You'll create opportunities for us to, even moving our bins out, we will meet our neighbor who is moving their bin at the same time, and a conversation starts. Just a conversation over the fence. Just a conversation by knocking at the door and saying hello. Something, Lord, give us a desire to take this good news and evangelize the world, because the world needs good news in the midst of all the threats and struggles and wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes and tsunamis and storms, in the midst of all that, the world is waiting for good news, and you are the good news. No, you are the best news, and we want to take that best news to the ends of the earth. So give us the courage and the determination to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.